If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 53 is coming up in 2 weeks. Okay, Isaiah 43. We're making our way through Isaiah. Today we'll be in Isaiah 43 through 45. There's various different themes that I'm going to pull out of these three chapters. And then next week I'm going to look at 45 and 46. And so we want to look at that next week. And that's kind of our transition. Next week as well will be our time of family forum. So we'll come and hear the message on God's sovereignty. God is the one who's in control. And then pray that God exercises that sovereignty in our family forum as well, as we submit ourselves to His control, to His sovereignty, to His will, as we best are able to determine that, and pray God's helping us and determining that with us. And so we're excited about that, or I'm excited about that for next week, and then the family forum and the things that have come up. I have worked a little bit on the budget. In fact, the budget is fairly complete. I just wanted to confirm everything else. And I will just give you this kind of heads up, just a little primer, and before we get things going. When I did the final calculations and the final numbers, I think we ended up being like $3,000 short. And you say, whoa. I'm like, but we took on a $36,000 expense. Okay. And so the point is, we've done well. You've done well. And I'll be able to say more about that next week as we look at the budget and the things coming up and what's happening and what's occurring. And so it's just kind of a little bit of heads up. I'm kind of excited, see, because I did that work this week, and now I'm excited to be able to report some of these things back to you. Next week will be even more exciting as we look at what God's doing and how we see God leading us in the year ahead. So, all right, I'm going to do Isaiah 43. I'm simply going to read the first 7 verses. As you read it, you'll maybe find out why I'm reading it. As again, Isaiah 40 turned a corner. And we've seen from God's judgments and God's Old Testament understanding of Isaiah. And now we're moving into Isaiah's blessings, Isaiah's servant, the promising of Jesus, which is throughout the book of Isaiah, but more specifically as his servant, especially when we get to Isaiah 53, we'll see that. If anybody knows about Isaiah 53, you know what I'm talking about. If not, in 2 weeks, you'll know about that. And I kind of timed that. So Isaiah 53 is on the first Sunday of the month when we take communion, and we talk about he was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. And so we'll look at that passage in Isaiah 53 coming up. But today we're looking at Isaiah 43. And if you want to turn with me to Isaiah 43, I'm going to read 4-7 verses and then pray and begin the message. So. But now thus says the Lord, O Jacob, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Sounds like a Valentine. Maybe it should have been a Valentine's message. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Now again, I could continue on. It all is the Word of God, but I'm going to conclude my reading there. And again, I'm going to be pulling verses from these several passages as I want to kind of look at the themes that were developed in Isaiah 43 to 45, and actually throughout the book of Isaiah, but are specifically here in Isaiah 43 through 45. So let me pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, this morning I thank you for your goodness unto us, for the grace that you have bestowed upon us that has redeemed us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and for the promise that you are our God and you will be with us. Father, we can find our comfort in those words. And this morning, Father, we are grateful, or I am grateful, for the opportunity I have to proclaim the message which you have given unto me through the studies I've done this week. And I pray now that your Spirit will empower me from on high through the truth of your word to bring forth the message which you would give unto me, have given unto me and would give unto your people. So I pray that you would speak now unto us through this your servant and this your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, it's in his name we pray. I ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we've kind of turned the corner in Isaiah. Actually, if we're at Isaiah 45, we've gone through three quarters of the book of Isaiah, and in the next several weeks, we will be able to complete Isaiah. I don't know if you guys have enjoyed the journey as much as I have, but I've been thoroughly blessed as I've had the opportunity to study this and to read through Isaiah and to be able to see Isaiah's understanding of God. And I think it's important that we understand that, because we're living in a culture today which says, well, kind of like, you know, and I'll get to this further in my message, I'm jumping ahead, but a culture today that says, well, if I were God, well, then I wouldn't let people starve to death. And if I were God, I wouldn't have any children die. And if I were God, I wouldn't let this diseases like cancer continue to survive. I'd let people be healed of that. And if I were God, and the answer to that is what? You're not God. And so if that's our response to people who see a God who would, If they were really God, would absolve all of our problems and take care of all of our sufferings, and there wouldn't be any more suffering, there wouldn't be any more sickness, there wouldn't be any more dying, there wouldn't be any more death, and we'd all be where? In heaven, wouldn't we? So there's a sense in which when we hear people say this about our God, if I were God, I wouldn't allow this to happen. If I were God, this wouldn't happen. If I were God, I wouldn't allow the suffering. If I were God, nobody would be starving to death. If I were God, we begin to understand the fact that that basically is our understanding of God, and God would be that way if it were not for the fact that sin has entered into this world. For God did create Adam and Eve and said, here's all the food you need to eat. Just take care of this, but don't eat of that tree over there. And they decided to what? Eat of the tree, and he brought the curse upon us. And so as we've been looking at Isaiah, the first part of Isaiah was talking more about the idea of the curse. The curse that we've seen. But we've also seen through Isaiah that all the way throughout the book of Isaiah, God has a plan in store. God has a plan to redeem his people. God has a plan to cover the curse. God has a plan to take care of things. And this morning, what I want to do as I look at Isaiah 43 to 45, as I want to draw out here what I've considered to be five concerns that God has for us. If you ask yourself the question, what's God concerned about? I want to try to answer that. Okay, we can talk about what we're concerned about, the things that we are worried about, that we're concerned about. But let me ask you this question. Is God concerned about whether or not President Trump gets impeached? I don't think it's high on his list, right? Is God concerned about whether or not we go to war with Iran? I don't think it makes his top 10. And so the things that concern us are often not the things that concern God. And so what I want to look at this morning is the things that concern God so that we can adjust our concerns to the things that really matter, the concerns that God has for us. And so as we look at this morning, the first concern I want to look at is that God is concerned that we know him. In Isaiah chapter 1, we began this whole message with the this whole series with a message. All right. The ox knows his master. All right. If you use King James, the ass knows his who feeds him, but my people do not know who I am. And there's a sense in which God in the beginning of Isaiah says, look, my people don't even know who I am. And I think that we've gotten today at a place in our society around us where our people as well, not the people in here, even there could be a problem in here, but the people today in our society no longer know who our God is. For they see God as a judgmental, I will get you God, rather than the God who is desiring to redeem us. Now let me ask you the question, is God going to someday judge this world? Yes. Does this world not deserve it? Yes. Is not God going to judge it in righteousness? Yes. And in justice? Yes. For God is a righteous and just God. But at the same time, what I want to share with us this morning is that God is concerned that we know Him. And I put down here that we know Him first as our Creator. But thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Now, if you were to continue to read through the passage, and again, I've done it, you'll have to forgive me this morning because I'm doing the ESV version because that's the version I studied out of. That's the version I underlined so that I can go and turn to the various places in Scripture where I've underlined things. So if you look at this, you begin seeing throughout the passage, and I'm just going through the places that I've underlined. You'll see in verse 15, I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. And if we continue to move on, let's see if I can find other ones all over here. God continues to say that He was the one. Okay, Isaiah, 44, verse 24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. And so we see that throughout here, God is constantly saying, about 45, verse 12, I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their hosts. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think it's important to understand that God is our Creator and that God has uniquely made us and that we are formed in the image of God and that He made us and formed us in our mother's wombs? How many of you on this Right to Life Sunday would say that's pretty important to God? That He is the one who has made us and formed us in our womb, and that from the very beginning of creation, the very beginning of conception, God has created a human life. Now, how far do I have to go on this one, rabbit? You know, not a rabbit trail, but a very definite trail that we could go off on. But I'm just going to say the fact that, again, I've said this whenever I preach about the whole line of understanding, but again, this being Right to Life Sunday, I will say the fact that, again, in 1973, I was a junior in high school. I graduated in 1970. No, sorry, I was a sophomore in high school. I graduated in 1975. Any of the classmates out there, Dave? When you were late, I was, weren't you? Okay, so, huh? Oh, really? Oh, okay. I could turn to other ones, okay? Those are older, all right? But anyways, there was a sense in which, if you remember 1973, why were we to make abortions legal? Help me out. One, they will be safe. No woman has to go to a back alley abortionist to get an abortion anymore. They will now be safe. Do you know that they just passed legislation, I believe it is within Illinois, that it doesn't have to even be a doctor that does it. But they want it to be safe. Secondly, all children will be wanted children then. Now, do I have to argue this one real strong? Because there's a sense in which, okay, if you don't want your child, what do? So then all children will be wanted children, and there will be no more child abuse. How's that one gone, guys? That one didn't work either. Now let me go to a third excuse, because remember, I remember all these. These were the things that they told us in order to make it legal. Right? It is only a blob of tissue. It's like removing a wart. It is not a human being or a baby. It is simply a group of cells. But now we just had this past year, New York, Illinois, and I'm trying to think, what was the other one? There was another one in there as well, that just basically voted that abortion is legal up until the time of delivery. All the way through 9 months. Now let me ask you this question. At what point in time does that little, all right, I'll even call it the embryo, become a human being? You want to give your physician's opinion? No. From the very beginning. Does the DNA change at all from an embryo to a human being to make it a human being? No, the DNA is all perfectly human DNA. And all the embryo needs to be able to become a human being and a baby is time to grow. And so we see again, but even now, we're seeing that up until the time of delivery, abortion has been made legal. And it has been taunted as a great thing. Look at what we've done. Let's light up the Empire State Building in pink. Because we're so pro-women, but we're not pro-girl. So we see where our society has gone. Why? Because we no longer see life as given and created by God. We've lost the idea that God is our creator. Secondly, we need to know that God, we need to know Him not only as our creator, but as our only God. Now, there's a sense in which you can say, Don, you're preaching to the choir, and I'd say amen to that. I hope I am. But I do believe, and I am afraid, that more and more the thinking of the world can begin to infiltrate the thinking of the church. And this past week, how many of you get on YouTube and you end up clicking the things on the side and you end up on this bunny trail and you end up for just kind of going, you know, wherever this takes you? Well, I did that this morning and I ended up on Wretched Radio. Now, some of you might like Wretched Radio, some of you might not, but I ended up on Wretched Radio and there the guy, and I can't remember even what the guy's name is. Some of you might know what is it? Todd Friel, okay. And so Todd is, I believe it's at the Minnesota State Fair, because somebody was carrying a KTIS bag, and from my days in Minnesota and going to the Minnesota State Fair, KTIS was a Christian radio station in Minneapolis, and so I'm thinking it's probably the Minneapolis State Fair. And he's there kind of, you know, preaching to the congregation, street preaching, I guess that's the best way to put it. And he basically, on his video, shows the people who want to stand up to the mic and kind of confront him. And one of the ladies stands up and she says, I'm a Christian and I've gone to, I can't remember where it was, but it was someplace in Asia. And she says, I really have trouble trying to tell my friends in Asia that their belief in Buddha will not get them to heaven. So there's a sense in which, how can we believe that we are the only ones who have the truth? How can we believe that our God is the only God? How can we believe that our way is the only right way? How can we be so narrow-minded and so bigoted and so, whatever term else you want to add on to it, that we would believe that we are the only ones who have the truth? For the truth is whatever anybody wants to believe. That's what's true for them. Now, I want you to know that that is what's happening out there in society. That is where people are going. You can do, you can believe, you can have true whatever you want to have true. Now, I want you, because I circled this one, and I'm just like, yes, circle it, mark it red. Turn with me to chapter 45, verse 19. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. Now, again, this is reading on ESV. Hopefully the NIV follows it along. I, the Lord, speak, what's it say? The truth. I declare what is right. We need to know Him as our only God. When you take the sheet that I've given you, your life study sheet this week, and you go through it, there's 14 places in this, just the next two chapters, where God says, I am God, the only God. There is none other besides me. Now let me ask you, does God have an egotistical problem? Where he happens to think he is the number one God? Or is God the number one God? You see, today we live in a society that denies the truth of God because they deny even God. And there even are those out there who even would try to teach that any belief in God is committing intellectual suicide and is child abuse to teach your kids. We recognize Isaiah is teaching us this morning. Know this, says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. For I have redeemed you, I have called you, I am the Lord, verse 3, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then if you actually turn over again, you'll find it again in verse 11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other Savior. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator. Verse 25, I am He. And I could continue on verse 6 of chapter 44. I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. Verse 8 of chapter 44. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. So if you continue to go through this passage, you will continue to see God is saying, we need to know who God is and not be embarrassed of our God. For God has declared, I am God. We simply need to get to know Him for who He is. And thirdly, I put down there as well, that we would know Him as our Redeemer. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, I'm going to go through this in another passage later on, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to go to the second one. Okay? Second concern that God has. God is concerned that He cares. See, if we begin to see God as the far judgmental, seated on the heavenly throne God, who's ready to cast lightning bolts upon us, who's ready to knock us down, who's ready to be a killjoy God who wants to ruin all of our fun and has nothing to do with us, then unfortunately you do not know the God of the Bible. For yes, the God of the Bible is the God who sits enthroned above the heavens. Yes, the God of the Bible is the God who has created all things and is our Creator. Yes, the God of the Bible is the God who will one day judge the world. We've already discussed that. But our God is also the God who has provided for our redemption and cares for us and loves us. All right, notice what it says. He cares for us. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You see, we need to understand that God cares for us. He knows our name and He calls us. Again, I will go into that a little bit later. Actually, in scriptures, I read it, and I can't remember underlining it, so I wasn't able to go back upon it. But I remember Chad Bailey, the director at the Christian Center, did a devotion for soccer when I was coaching soccer back in the fall. And he did the verse, "I have written your name on the palm of my hand." And so we come to understand that God knows us by name. Jesus says, "I am the great shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." We understand the fact that God knows not only our name, He knows the number of hairs on our head, and He knows intimately everything that we are going through, and He cares for us. He walks with us through it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And again, some people would refer that ahead to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. And so we see again that He cares for us. He goes through us. He goes with us through it. Now the problem is, we don't want God to go with us through it. We want God to what? Take us out of it. Because I don't want to go through it. We also know that as God walks with us through it, is when we learn to trust God. And we learn to understand what God has established for our lives. For God never promised us a rose garden. Who did that song? Anyways, God never promised us a rose garden. He never said your life's going to be easy. It'll be all right. Everything will be hunky-dory. For God here did not promise that you won't go through the waters or you won't go through the fires, but that He will be with you through them. And thirdly, I put down here as well, we know that He cares because He sees us as precious and loves us. You see it? Verse 4. You can make this, you know, ladies, those of you who, you know, like to be decorative, you can put this on a sign and put it above your child's bedroom. Isaiah 43, verse 4. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That's what God says about Israel. Let me ask you, was Israel in a good place at this time? Was Israel walking with God? Was Israel in a really good relationship and everything was going well? No, everything was going bad. In fact, the Babylonians were going to invade them. God says, you're precious. And I still love you. So we come to understand, and we need to know how much God really cares for us. And so, thirdly, my time is going faster than my points. I understand that. We need to know that God is concerned that we know He forgives us. He forgives us. Look at verse 23. Excuse me, look at verse 11. Me, there is no other your 5. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And if you turn over in chapter 44 as well, verse 22, you see it there again, picking it up, 21. Remember these things, Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. Sometimes we think God is our servant, but God is saying, no, you got it backwards. I'm your God. You're my servant. Not, you're my servant. I'm the God. Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And And we see that God here has provided the forgiveness for our sins. For actually, if you look at the scriptures, you do recognize the fact that God speaks to them and God says to them, your sins have become a burden unto me. You have burdened me with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities. For I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now, let me give you two things here that I really believe that we need to understand in this whole understanding of God forgiving our sins. All right? First of all, I think we need to understand that our sins are not something that we can deal with. God has to deal with them. Well, that's okay. I'll just try harder next time, God. I tell you what, God, I'll take care of it. I'll fix it. Can't be done. For God has already taken care of it. For in Isaiah 53, we will look at it. God has taken our iniquities and placed them upon Jesus. And our sins have been forgiven. Our trespasses have been covered. And our burden, our sins have been forgiven by God. And so we need to understand and realize that we have been forgiven by God. So the judgment of God is no longer on us. Those who know Jesus as their Savior have received His forgiveness and asked Him to become their Lord and their Savior have no fear of condemnation or of guilt. For we have been forgiven. Fourthly, my time is gone and these are all running together anyways. God is concerned that we know His salvation. I want you to turn with me over to, I believe it is chapter 45. Let's see, let me find it. Like I said, I underlined these things and I had them all written in here. Oh, okay. Chapter 45, verse 22. I want to pick it up at verse 21. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. And then his plea to the people of Isaiah is this, turn to me. And be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Do you hear God's plea? Do you hear God's heart? God's heart is saying, turn now back unto me, for I am the one who has redeemed you. Turn to me that you may be saved. If you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ this morning must be the way. Turn back to Him. Turn yourself over to Jesus. Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to forgive my sins and I give my life to you that I may know your forgiveness and be saved. For God is about the redeeming, saving business. Now, I'm going to run through this real quick. If you want to copy it down, you can copy it down. But here God gives us His steps of salvation. I have called you. I have chosen you. I have redeemed you. I have forgiven you. I have saved you. And God wants the world to know that this is His salvation. He has called us. He has chosen us to be saved by Jesus. He has redeemed us from our sin, has purchased our redemption. He has forgiven us and He has saved us. He is our Savior. He is the one. All right? But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity, Isaiah 45, verse 17 says. And so lastly, let me conclude with this. God is concerned that we know Him as the true God. God is concerned that we know He cares for us. God is concerned that we know His forgiveness, that we know His salvation, and that we know His purposes. Look at chapter 42. Same page, at least on this. Turn back one chapter to chapter 42, verse 6. I am the Lord your God. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. For you see, God has established His purpose that we would be redeemed. Again, I'm going to go through these quickly and then I'll come back and draw it all together. That we would know His purpose to redeem us and to love us and to show us His kindness. For God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that we are to be the lights of God into a darkened world. That the purpose of God for this church, and I'll look at this more next week, the purpose of God for this church and for our lives is that we might demonstrate unto a lost and dark world the light of the love of Christ and the salvation which He has purposed for us in Jesus, that He might be praised and honored and glorified. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no others. I am the one who has redeemed you. And so we come to share the love of Christ with others. That is His purpose. That's what God's called us to do. I'll go over more of that next week. God is concerned. God is concerned for this world that it would know Him. And it's concerned for us. Thank you, and I guess I just say thank you for sticking with me as we look at this passage. And next week we'll go into it even further as we look at God's purpose for our lives and what God desires for us to do. All right, amen. Amen.